Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE Talk Radio.
Sports, business and entertainment news on Daybreak with my dad, Dave Hodgson.
And there she is. Mark is a student. He's from Ireland and he's into his sport and he's going to be doing sport with us on the Monday here on Daybreak with Dave. So, Mark, where do we start with today? It's been a busy old weekend, hasn't it?
It has been. I was just telling to you that if I hadn't anything to do this weekend, I still would have been busy with all the sports going on, especially because the Club World Cup started this weekend.
What is it?
That's a great question. And technically, it already existed. It was called, the Super Cup or renditions. And this is just the latest form.
Do you think this is trying to inject a bit more enthusiasm and attention towards it?
I think so. Especially, it's being hosted in the US, which is crazy, considering that all the teams have just competed a year-long competitions. They've also just completed the Nations League. And now they have to go all the way to America to play another tournament that really is just a glorified marketing tactic for FIFA in the USA. Speaking on that, though,
just can I ask, does that mean that the timings are going to be all over the place for us in Europe?
A little bit, not too bad. Like, say the Atletico Madrid and PSG match, I think started at like 9 or 8 for me last night.
Yeah, okay.
So it wasn't terrible. It's not the worst I've been. I'm not the worst that I've stayed up for. Especially when it comes to F1, you'd sometimes find yourself.
Are you excited about? Are you invested in this now? Or?
Not as much as I probably should be.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking on that, though, there have been some interesting results, and it does always have an interesting chemistry to it when you bring together all these teams. Like,
before you get the results, what's the criteria for getting into it? Have you got to be like top two of your league or whatever?
So it's off the last three seasons in how your team has performed domestically, more important, in Europe. So a lot of people would argue that Barcelona should be in this cup, but they've went two group stages around the 16 and a quarter final in the last three seasons of the Premier League, where then Atletico Madrid have reached I think two quarter finals. So that's how it works off, that they didn't do much better, but they did good enough to get into this Club World Cup, which for the team itself is very good news considering the massive prize pool. So you do want to be involved in this. Although,
I just wonder whether the players get a bit, it's just too much. Do they get a rest over the summertime?
I think it is. I think it's because you'd be looking at 80, 90 games.
Yeah.
If this pattern continues of players having to play that. And, we already have a lot of issues with injuries, especially because now more 17, 18, 19-year-olds are getting their breaks. Kids have never been more talented and getting more opportunities in football. So you really have to look at that as this. And it has been interesting, to say the least. You've had games like Inter Miami didn't score, or Porto didn't score. Their games were nil-all. But then you also have Auckland City. And most of their team actually couldn't compete because they're working 9-to-5s.
Wow.
So when it came out to going against Bayern Munich, Bayern won 10-0, they were playing against the under-14s or 15s. So although it is a historic result in the Club World Cup, it also is the first match that anyone scored in the Club World Cup. So it wasn't too interesting. Then we had PSG and Atletico Madrid last night, and PSG really didn't look like too much under threat. And I always try to make time to watch them because they are just a fascinating, entertaining team to watch. But as far as technology goes in sports, the Club World Cup is fairly important because FIFA is testing 5 new tech features like referee body cams.
Yeah.
Live VAR feeds, AI offside sensors, digital subs, and real-time analytics are all debuting at this tournament. So
have you seen some referee body cam?
I haven't yet. I do remember in the Premier League I saw player body cams, and they were fascinating. They were, because you never get to see that angle.
No, wow. Where's it all going to stop? So we've had some matches already then,
We have, and nothing nothing too crazy. Listen, it's cool to see these players play, but I don't feel it's anything that I wouldn't be able to see in the Champions League. But I suppose the competition that I'm always more fascinated by is the Premier League, and we do have some news from there. And the 2025-26 Premier League fixtures will be published on Wednesday, June 18th. So all 380 fixtures are going to be scheduled for then. And it's good news for teams already. It's not so good news for the teams that aren't. Some teams have had the chance to already get their players, like Manchester City, Liverpool have already made significant signings for the transfer window that ran from the 1st to the 10th of June to accommodate the Club World Cup squad deadlines. The rest of everyone will have to work between today and September 1st.
So they get first pickings then?
Really, they do. Yeah, it's open to everyone. Of course, Man United took advantage of it to sign Cunha, but really it was just, it was made for the Club World Cup. And talking about fixtures, it's also going to be fixture time for La Liga. They've confirmed their schedule for the 2025-26 season, and it includes five international breaks, one in early June 2026. So plenty of time to prepare for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Last week, we talked about Ter Stegen wanting $42 million to break his contract early. Well, it seems he might have just met his match in Galatasaray, who've already been quite busy in the market. And they've already got Leroy Sané. They've been talks with a few European superstars trying to quell any news and rumours that Jose Mourinho might be bringing the Turkey League down. But Galatasaray have reached out and apparently have made personal agreements with Ter Stegen on his wages. And that's not the only news happening for Barcelona and La Liga. It's also rumored that Nico Williams is very interested in going to Barcelona. And Atletico Bilbao, though, have insisted any club wanting Williams must meet his full release clause. Only $58 million.
Oh, there you are.
Which, when you know players like Anthony are going for 100, you really have to look at that and say it's a bargain right there. The only thing
sounds a lot to us, but to them that is small fry, I suppose.
That is actually kind of comparatively.
That's
good,
like
money.
It's a bit like an offer, isn't it?
Yeah, and I can name plenty of teams right now who would need someone of Nico Williams' talent. Arsenal, Chelsea, Bayern, who could really use a winger on the left-hand side.
Derby County,
Derby County would be another one. The only caveat is that his wages is somewhere between 300 to 400,000.
We don't want him,
$20 million a year is essentially what it costs. But they often say players are the best agents. And his teammates apparently sit over Spain and he'd be willing to play $12 million a year for Barcelona, which would be, that's half of their highest played player, Robert Lewandowski. So they'd definitely be willing to make that. But if they didn't want to go the Nico Williams route, it's also rumored that they're chasing Marcus Rashford, a longtime favorite of Hansi Flick, who tried to bring him in at Bayern Munich, and they could get him for as low as $40 million, so considerably less than Nico Williams' 58. And he's reportedly open to a massive pay cut to make the move happen, which it need to, because I think it's on 350,000 a week at Man United.
They'll be happy to palm him off.
Yeah, and they want the money. He's not in Amarin's plans, so definitely
been at Villa, of course, hasn't he, as well, on loan.
But moving on from sports, there also was a lot happening on the other side of the pond this year. Just north of America, Canada was hosting the Grand Prix, which did not disappoint whatsoever. The first 50 laps probably could have, you didn't really need to watch them because all the action was on the back end. Russell finally got his first win of 2025, his last win coming in, I think it was Vegas in November of last year. So really the Mercedes didn't look like slowing down whatsoever this weekend.
And what happened to Lewis Hamilton? He hits...
Yeah, he got some got some front wing damage on lap 13. I think he rode a curb just a little bit too high.
All right.
And, you know, it is, I think a lot of people could be mistaken for thinking that it is a simple track. It is not a simple track. The curbs are high, the corners are deep. Really, it's a track where you have to be on the top of your game as a driver. And some were, some weren't. The McLaren meltdown, as they're calling it, was sort of inevitable. We didn't see it coming like this, but as far as McLaren are concerned, this would be the best outcome.
Yeah.
They only lose one driver. Late, I think it was lap 63-64, Lando Norris done a move on the inside coming into turn one, and it just... there wasn't enough space.
Yeah.
His front wing hit Piastri's rear wheel, and his race was over. Now, as far as maturity comes, he put his hands up nearly 10, 15 seconds after the crash saying, listen, that was my fault,
yeah,
sorry.
Fair enough.
But it always was a thing that everyone was telling McLaren, listen, you can't have two number one drivers, because if they had just picked the number one and said, hey, Piastri, you need to let Lando by, or Lando, you need to stay behind Piastri, this wouldn't have happened. But really, it was a fairly relaxing race for Russell and Verstappen. They didn't really have much threat from the McLarens there. And the big news, of course, is Kimi Antonelli, just 17 years of age, got his first podium with Mercedes.
I'm going to have to move on. We're going to have to do some golf, I think, before we finish because of time. Yeah. But so fascinating stuff going on at the Canadian Grand Prix. Yeah, look that one up. Okay, we've had the Open as well. So.
Yeah, the US Open was very interesting. The winner was just the only person to actually become under par.
Yeah.
One under par was JJ Spahn, who sealed victory with an incredible 65 birdie putt on the 18th hole, two shots clear of Robert McIntyre, who was the runner up. It was a difficult competition for a lot of people. The Oakmont Country Club is a difficult course anyway. It's a player's course, as they might call it. But a lot of people would have admitted failure. You know, Scheffler even admitted that the tough pin placements and missed putts caused a lot of missteps. And of course, McIlroy was affected. And there's a lot of players who were kind of cut they missed the halfway cut, like Brian Deschamps, Justin Thomas, Joaquin Neiman, and Phil Mickelson, and Justin Rose, just to name a few, all missed the halfway cut. And you know, generally, it's not a good thing to see not a lot of players getting under par. So it was a tough old competition, but at the same point, it's kind of what you want to see. Ram, who is Spain's top player, in my opinion anyway, is also tied seventh, which for a man who wasn't too confident coming in is pretty good. He'd admitted that being in LIV Golf could have been a disadvantage coming into this, because he's like, the competition, not that it's not as good,
it's just,
but there's less players to play against.
So
all the while, though, it was a good competition. Oakmont Country Club always provides entertainment. And Rory McIlroy, the pressure's on him now for his next major.
A bit of a hangover from his great win earlier on in the year. Well, we're out of time, Mark, unfortunately. It's gone really quickly, but you'll be back with us next week around this time, actually, about 9:30 our time, 8:30 your time. Are you enjoying your week in Spain? How are you doing with the heat?
I'm struggling with the heat, but I think I'm adjusting slowly. Every day I'm feeling myself getting stronger.
Fabulous. So you'll be hearing Mark this time next week on the show. Thank you, Mark. Cheers.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.